We're talking about the Michtam Eliyahu, who really, took this idea of Hashgacha Pratis to its logical conclusion and said there is no Derech HaTeva, there are no Chukei HaTeva, there is no laws of cause and effect. All there is Hashgacha Pratis. You get whatever Hashem wants you to get, has nothing to do with what you do with Derech HaTeva. The only exception he was willing to make was for things that would be an Eis Niglah, so Hashem sort of hides himself and keeps up the act of a Neis Nigla, and that's why we eat bread. But, in real life, that's a very, very small concession, meaning 99.9% of what we're worried about in real life wouldn't be a Neis Nigla for either way to happen. And therefore, we should realize there's no such thing as Teva. So why is there Hishtadlus Bechlal? So if you look at the second column on page 6, he quotes two reasons why there's Hishtadlus. One is very Zumno Mishalant. He says, what's one excuse for Hishtadlus? This is where we left off. The only excuse for Hishtadlus, says Rav Zunel Misalant, is so as not to have an Eis Nigla. Therefore, why do we do Hishtadlus? To keep up the illusion. We have to do Hishtadlus so that whatever Hashem gives us, people will be able to mistakenly think that it's based on cause and effect. And therefore, just to give people the choice, if they want to believe the truth, they will, and if they want to believe the lie, they can. So what the amount of Hishtadlus you have to do, enough Hishtadlus that you'll be able to fool everyone. Meaning, let's say Hashem wants to give me $1 million, so I have to do enough Hishtadlus that if I got $1 million, it would fool everyone. So, and what did he himself do? That's where Nikona Shtar Grolov Zana Yotzi Dechos Hishtadlus Kiare Mezgeb Grolov Shabbos and Dechtivi. So that's where Zunim Salad only bought a lottery ticket. Every few months he bought a lottery ticket. And that was enough Hishtadlus, because if Hashem wants to give him money, he'll make him win the lottery. No, he didn't, but he wouldn't have made any more money if he was a lawyer. That was Hashem's Cheshire. That was Zunim Salad, didn't need the money. But it's not because he only bought a lottery ticket, he didn't make money. He would have made the same money either way, because it's now, obviously, if everyone bought a lottery ticket, that wouldn't work, because then it would be an Eis Nigla for everyone to win the lottery at the same time. But as long as only one guy does it, then that's fine. After all, if you win the lottery, what will people say? They'll say, well, some lucky guy would win the lottery, so it was Zindel. Right? So, perfect. So that's the only, as now, the only excuse for a Shtadlus is to keep up the illusion, and therefore, all you have to do is enough to fool people. Lu Yitzuya, Hashem wants to give you money, that you should be able to fool people. And then he gives strong Moser Amram Rove Ne Adam Gamash Yashu Osman Amidim Malo Vitachim Enos and Kain El Oskim Bishtadlus Hativis Bechol Yecholtam. Right, they work hard. Umaayinim Besichlam, and they have the chutzpah. He's very upset about this. They think in their mind as if they can understand things. Umedakim Amikim Lachso Prote Yishtadlus Yibershol Fam. They make detailed plans. They even compete. Right? You ask most people, why do you do Hishtadlus? Don't you believe everything's from Hashem? Right? They find all sources in the Torah, fake sources in the Torah to do Hishtadlus. Which is the one we have on our sheet. It's enough to do a little. He just has a better head for why to do a little, like Rizun al-Mushalat. Really well. It says, there's no mitzvah to work to support your wife and kids. That's what Chazal meant. Chazal meant it. That if you have money, you should use it to support your wife and kids and not, waste it on silly things. But Chas Shalom, there's no mitzvah to work to support your wife and kids because working doesn't support your wife and kids. Aval only Arvich Yosef Shol Shishtadlus Yosef. Very clear, it doesn't work. Vashem Yashu, Ki Kol Hashem Yarv, L'Shtad L'Yasku, B'Skein, K'mach Kol Yimeim, U'L'Shem Shemayim Be'emes, Yivtgen Ba'atzma, here is Harsh, Shemachshav Ruchanis, Ba'al Ha'em Be'emes, Judas Miskeim, O'Lehefech, Machshavas Miskeim, Ba'al Ha'em Be'emes, Shemona Esrei. Now, I'm not quite sure this harsh criticism is correct in Tzias, meaning there are people who do Hishtadlus who actually have thoughts of Ruchnius at work and not thoughts of business in their Shmona Esrei. But I guess he's saying a lot of people, it just goes to show you're doing Hishtadlus because you don't care about Ruchnius. Zelo Parnish Rapid Kamka Zelo Nachu Klum LeMikra. Okay, here he's correct. People say, well, Nachu Klum LeMikra really are, have problems with their belief in Hashgacha Pratis. How can it be like? I don't need any proof of chance that I can be 100% sure they'll get what I want without any siyata d'shmaya. Okay, that's If you're that radical, then you're problematic. Zepet gamu derni shal kochav el simyadi osli yischayel zekiv le'ein davar nisam idiosam ein davar nelo kochav piskam shal gaiva shal bikurs of avodazara. Okay, he's right. Someone who thinks that they can control life 100% is gaiva bikurs of avodazara. But his problem is even people who think that they have any role to play. Haymein roi shigam mamidim mishdalim kol yichodim mishdalus mitzivis yachshu tzastam kilam balim menak fiyor shigyuklu mishdalus av lishlo v'mikrum lamo sheyichpatsu. Right? Very clear the basic fear is to think you can change anything in the world other than your own asiyas mitzvos. Obviously, you have the chivuchash to do more mitzvos and become more ruchni, so that you can actually affect something in the world. That's kfira. Amnam. Now, here, of course, here you see that Rav Dessler is not only a clever philosopher, but also has sound judgment. Do you think Rav Dessler told all the guys in Gateshead to only buy a lottery ticket and to not do any shtadlus? So he didn't. Why not? So here he comes up. Basically, you know, he was in the real world. He wasn't stupid. He's not going to tell every guy just buy a lottery ticket and don't do a shtadlus. But why not? So he comes up with another very clever hesper for an excuse for doing a shtadlus. Again, not that a shtadlus accomplishes anything. What's his second excuse? Which is very true. On them is a psychological insight. On them is Chazik Brookney, who wrote this law, was published, Yashlef Kemakol, Shtavish Men of Yasim Meiser, Rezumim L'Shalantanal. Someone who's flipped out and very, you know, has a brain, and all of a sudden pulls from Rezumim L'Shalant. He negamas that's a kind of fun. That's also improper. That's also dangerous. He has Paulus, this law is a very fish maher. He has Sherish Bach, Nasso, so Loy Spilos, Parnosso, Yasiba, Tana, Sherhech, and Loy Kashwal, Loy Yamad Nisoyan, the Scarino Masehu, the Alasher Miat, the Shtavish. The Yital Tova Sharasa, the Yarbelato. Right, he says there's another reason you have to do a shtablas. Because if a guy says Am in the Madriga Rezunim L'Shalant and does zero hishtablas, the danger is, what if Hashem decides to not give him a lot of money? What if Hashem decides to not give him any money? Could be. Then, so what happened to Rezunim L'Shalant? His whole life he always lost the lottery. What did he say? He said, I have a moon on Hashem. Whatever Hashem does for the best, Gevaldik. And he was a big tzaddik. But you know, if every, you know, Avrich says, I'm not going to do any shtadlus, I'm just going to buy a lottery ticket, and then Hashem doesn't make him win the lottery, then what will your average guy do? He might say, I can't believe I was so stupid to listen to all those Bali Musar. And he'll go off the derech. Meaning, it's the same thing as anything trying to be more frum than you can really handle right now, right? If you told Rezunim L'Shalant to keep all kinds of crazy chumras, then fine. If I told every Avrich to keep all kinds of crazy chumras, then you know what? He might do it for a month and then get sick of it and go off the derech entirely. Because he'll say, this is too crazy, I can't handle it. So basically, what's another reason to do a shtablos? Because if you don't do a shtablos, you might be more religious than you can really handle, and the danger of being more religious than you're ready for is that it might backfire and you might go off the derech. Which is, I mean, psychologically, it's very insightful. Everyone knows you don't tell someone to be more on a higher madriga than they're up to right now, because it might backfire and they might give up entirely. So as he says, even though shtadlus is bogus, sometimes you might have to do it just to be mekarev yourself, to not put yourself in too much of a nisayon, because it's a nisayon to not do shtadlus. And Rezun Yisrael can handle nisayon, and the stomach of Desa can handle nisayon, and the stomach of lots of gedolim and tzaddikim can handle nisayon, but not every guy can handle the nisayon. Al kain tzarchad in lishkol erchosol the mikra shtadlus fi erich madrigosol fi esher yuchal se'et gam lo yizkel atzlech v'gashen hal fi shtadlus and what how much she ishtadl. So he says there's another reason you have to do ishtadlus. You have to do enough ishtadlus that you won't go off the derech if you're poor. So you have to think to yourself, like if I buy the lottery ticket and I never win, what will happen? I might go off the derech. So you know what? It's not worth taking a chance. But if I work 2 hours a day, then, you know, even if I'm poor, I still won't go off the derech. Why? Because even if I'm poor, I still won't go off the derech, because I'll say, after all, my rabbis didn't tell me something so crazy. They just told me to work less every day. So then I won't be resentful of what the rabbis told me. And for many people, he would tell them, go work 8 hours a day. So if you work half a day and you're poor, you'll be resentful of the rabbis and of Judaism, and you might go off the derech. So everyone has to work enough that they're not in danger of going off the derech and turning around and saying, I can't believe I listened to this crazy musser.
So basically they have to think enough shtadlus, or they have to think enough of it as their own doing, so that if it doesn't work out, they'll blame themselves and not God?
Exactly. They have to do enough ishtadlus that if for a second they go down to the Madrega of Kfira thinking that ishtadlus works, they won't say, I can't believe they told me not to ishtadlus and stop keeping Shabbos and start eating treif and intermarry. That's another reason to ishtadlus, to be tiring yourself, because after all he says, right now you believe what I'm writing, but you know, you'll have a spiritual low and you'll start believing in Teva again. And when you start believing in Teva, you're going to say, and that idiot Rabbi Dessler told me to not do ishtadlus, I'm abandoning Judaism. So therefore, now, Rav Zalman Salant wasn't worried about that happening to him. But a person has to be realistic. You have to know how likely you are to have problems in Emunah, and you should at least put yourself in a situation where you have problems in Emunah, you'll still stay from. And that might be why he would tell most Jews to work 8 hours a day. So he'd say, you guys are in such a low madrega that if I inspired you to quit your job, the next day you'd resent it. So therefore, you should keep your job. So everyone has to, and then he says, the last paragraph, everyone has to make a balancing act. If you do too little hishtadlus, then you might end up in the danger of going with the derech. If you do too much hishtadlus, then you're being a kofer for no reason. So everyone has to do just enough hishtadlus that lu yitzur chas v'shom, they're in danger and they believed in Teva one day, they wouldn't rebel against all of Judaism. Okay, so Dessler has two excuses for doing ishtadlus. Again, neither of which are that it actually has any effect. Either do enough ishtadlus to fool other people. If you're in a high madrega, you do enough ishtadlus to fool other people into thinking that there might be a Teva. And for most realistic people, do enough ishtadlus to fool yourself so that if you slipped and started believing in Teva, you would not... You know, again, for some people, let's say they work half a day, and they slip and start believing in Teva. They'll say, my rabbis made me work half a day? All right, but I got to learn half a day, so Mishka Ferlach. So those guys should work half a day. Let's say someone's on very high Madrega. Yeah, I might slip for 5 minutes and believe a little in Teva. But if I work an hour a day, that'll be enough that I still won't be too upset. And many people even say, for sure I'll slip, and I'll believe in Teva all the time, and I'll be very resentful with the rabbis say, because I'm not so committed to Judaism. Therefore, I should work 8 hours a day, so that I don't resent what the rabbis told me. It's the same as any other Komra. You know, it's the same as any other thing. Like, should I tell someone to be makbid on, I don't know, and Irvin and Yashan and Jerubin and Tom and etc.? So the answer is, if this is the guy who's going to say, I can't believe he made my life so crazy, now I'm banning Judaism entirely, then I for sure shouldn't, even if I believe that that's the right thing. You have to be practical as to how much of the right thing you should do. Okay, that is Rav Dessler. According to him, statistically, you should do a study of Avrechi Kolel and lawyers, and they should make, on the average, the same amount of money. Now, and if you'll say, but statistically, you'll do the study and they don't make the same amount of money, doesn't that prove how this works? So, I don't remember if he addressed this, but it's okay, I'll volunteer to address it on his behalf. It's really not so hard. He can say, A, really, there's all kinds of other factors involved that Hashem throws in to fool the statistics. Maybe Davka, there are other reasons why these people who are lawyers, Hashem wants to give them money, and he threw them into the law profession to mess up the statistics so he could still fool people. Or you could say that maybe, no, it's not because they work as lawyers or not. It's because the lawyers are Hashem, so Hashem gives them more reward in this world while he saves the schar of the Avrechim for the for Olam Haba. Or Hashem has many reasons, or maybe the answer is because Hashem gives everyone the equal reward. But the lawyers like money better, so he gives them money. And Avrechim like Torah better, so he gives them Torah. And the lawyers can't understand the sugya, because he's not going to give everyone two rewards. He gives everyone whatever they like best. So they can be, you can always find an explanation. And probably the simplest explanation is that really the lawyers should make the same as the Avrechim. But Hashem had a few guys who he needed to give money to for other reasons. And he dafka threw them into the profession of law to mess up the statistics so that people could still be fooled. But after all, I don't know. If you look at people out there are plenty of people who make less money than Avrechim. There are people who are unemployed. There are people... I mean, if you think about it, there are lawyers who make less money than Avrechim. What? There are people who went to Ivy League schools who made less money than Avrechim. You know, so statistics, yes, Hashem figures... Hashem is clever enough that he can figure out how to fool you with statistics, right? Even Madison Avenue can fool you with statistics. Kal v'chomer Hashem.
According to Abnesta, how do you understand Zvulun in the Torah?
So what's shot in Zvulun in the Torah Crunch of Dessler? So I think Rav Dessler would say this. Let's say Yisachar Zvulun, right? Hashem wanted Yisachar to get $30,000. Right? So let's say on the Zvulun, right? I'll imagine fancifully I had $30,000 to spare. Meretz Hashem by all of us. So, I give it to Yisachar to learn. It's not that Yisachar can learn because I gave him the money. No, Yisachar can learn because Hashem goes there $30,000, and if it wouldn't have been for me, it would be for someone else. Why is Zvulun so gevaldik? Because Hashem said, I'm going to $30,000 for Yisachar. But who wants to be my shliach to bring him the $30,000? So Zebulun says, I want to be the shliach to bring the $30,000, and he has the schar, not that he called Yisachar to learn, but he has the schar that it's a certain ishtak for us. If you become the shliach that shows that you're machshavit and that brings you into it and associates it with you, and like the famous Moshe Chazal say, you know, if I want to deliver perfume, the shliach also smells nice in the end, even though he didn't do anything. So that's the shliach also smells
but
nice.
Chazal say, "Hi, be shluchim lamakom." It's just as easy for Hashem to make two isachar as the both sit and learn. So let Hashem give him the lottery, or let Hashem use any one of his shluchim lamakom. Why do you have to have one of the whole shivteka be designated to something that basically does not achieve anything at the end of the day?
Because Zvulun wasn't cut out for learning. Zvulun wasn't cut out for learning. They were cut out for business. They were going to do business in one of shop. The question is, should they do business and build a sports stadium and, you know, and big palaces? Or should they do business and say, I'll be the shliach to give you Yisachar the money he was going to get anyway? Say the tremendous achos. Yeah, if Zvulun asked, should I quit business and go into learning? Chashon, we never tell him, don't quit business because Yisachar needs you. We would say, of course quit business because Yisachar is going to be fine without you. This is only Mela once you're in business. It's a chus for you to be a shliach to help Yisachar. But of course Yisachar would be the same with or without you. So Rav Dessa would never tell the guy, keep working because you need to support Torah. Never tell him, if you're working, using your money to support Torah brings you close to Torah, and using your money to support the local philharmonic doesn't bring you close to Torah. But in a Konami, if you don't give any money, Torah will be just as supported.
But I don't understand why Yisachar is not holding with Rav Zundel Misalant.
Yisachar is! He's sitting there not doing anything and Hashem sent him a Zvulun.
No, but his is not through the lottery where there's no Shabbos. It's through someone else's Shabbos.
No, Yisachar is not doing the Shabbos. The fact that Hashem sent him someone to give him free money, he should say no. The lottery also comes to people with the Shabbos. How do you think they buy lottery tickets? That's ridiculous. Yisachar is not doing any Shabbos. Hashem is sending him money. It's gevaldik. Yeah, I think Odessa would. The only difference is other people might say, you know what, this Zvulun's doing something really important for Yisachar. Zvulun's not doing anything for Yisachar. Zvulun, Mela, now that he's a businessman, is doing something really important for Zvulun. But Zvulun's not helping Yisachar. Now, of course, you're supposed to be polite, right? If a shliach comes to bring me something, I don't say, you're just a mailman. You didn't decide to bring it to me. I'd say thank you to the mailman because it's polite to thank the shliach. So of course Yisachar should thank Zvulun, because it's polite to thank the shliach. But he shouldn't be makar tov that Zvulun actually gave it to him. No, but you're makar tov to the mailman if he brings you a great gift from your grandma. Okay. You're makar tov to the mailman because that's politeness. So out of politeness, Yisachar should thank you to Zvulun. But he shouldn't think it comes from Zvulun. Chas v'shalom.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but it's a little strange. And also, in the Shnas HaShemitah, everyone's holding by Rav Zundel Misalant's level of Ishtadlis.
No, the Shnas HaShemitah, no one ever kept Shemitah, historically. Read the Tanakh.
Okay, but in the...
okay, you might also need to look at Chazal. What? According to what it says in the Chumash about Shemitah, then in the time of Shemitah, everyone should... But in the time of Shemitah, everyone should be on a slightly higher level of Emunah, but only once every 7 years, and after all, Hashem gives you the reward beforehand, so it makes it a little easier. Right? First, Hashem gives you all the money for the Shemitah year, then you keep Shemitah, so it's a little easier. Right? According to what it says in the Chumash. It doesn't say after Shemitah, you'll make your money back. So before Shemitah, you'll make extra money. So that obviously makes me sell you a little more practical. Okay, now, I want to get to, we have basically two different approaches of understanding Shabbos so far. One approach based on the Ramban in many places, which fits in with the philosophy of the Ramban, is that Shabbos is there because it's really Teva, and if you're not on a high madriga, you can't, on a high madriga is one thing, if you're not on a high madriga, you have to work through Teva. Hashem doesn't always micromanage. The other approach is that Hashem always micromanages everything. There is no Teva. And Ishtablis is for some side reason. You have to come up with some clever excuse for Ishtablis. The question is there's something in between. Because on the one hand, you know, we may have a little trouble swallowing the Michlam Eliyahu's philosophy. Because really, to deny all of Teva is a very, very big chiddush and very counterintuitive. I mean, it sounds good. And anything could be true philosophically. Philosophy doesn't have to make common sense. But it seems a little crazy to us to say there's mamish no chukei ateva, and it's all a big fake out that Hashem made just to fool us. Like the whole Brias Olam with all the chukei ateva and all of science and everything is one big nisayon that he wants to see it fulfilled. It's one big practical joke. That's a big chiddush. Could be true. It's a big chiddush. A little hard for us to swallow that. On the other hand, to say that mamish, that, you know, Hashem is not, to say that, you know, Hashem is not really involved in a lot of people's lives all the time, and you sort of let the world run on its own, except when people, you know, are in a situation that makes them get involved. There's also a bit of a chiddush to say, like, Hashem's not always behind everything. So the question is there any in-betweens? So I think there's at least one in-between, and I really get a hint to this, you know, at least for people on a regular madrega. Could be for people on a higher madrega, then Kuli Alma's molde that everything runs through a shkafa process and they could be in my pishtabas. Well, I don't think the Rambam would, but he didn't explain why. But at least for most people, Rav Yabachi already has this. Again, we saw Rav Yabachi once on a high madrega, you shouldn't do any shtablis. That we already saw in his perish on, I think it was Miketz. But in terms of regular people, he has a great drash in Mukher 15. Sus muchon liyamachom of Hashem Yeshua. Right? Yeah, you get your army ready, but Hashem gives you Yeshua. So I would have thought that meant the army shuyot is all from Hashem, and that would be just like Rav Dessler. But that is not what Rabbeinu Bachi says. Shlomo melchom shalom yazer kol adam because of azeh she yaseh kol dover she yitzorich lasu derech adam komash bekocho. What is Shlomo melchom telling you? You have to do everything you need to do and bechol kocho, right? You want to know how to find the real shita of a rishon or an achron? You don't look for what they say to do a shtadlis, because everyone comes up with an excuse for a shtadlis. The nafkamina is, do you do a shtadlis bechol kocho or it'd be yoytze sign, right? For the Michal Eliyahu, you're yoytze sign. For the for the Masil Sharm, you don't design. But Rabbi Bachi says, no, b'chol kocho, like the Ramban said about Yaakov, b'chol kocho, sad b'chol yichoto. You have to work hard. Shtadlus really, b'chol kocho, it really makes a difference. You have to work hard. Why do you have to do shtadlus hard? V'shiyim sar shabit ishamayim. After you do all your shtadlus, you leave the rest to Hashem. Ki anei sein ochol alo b'chesron ha-teva. V'ikri yitzivus ha-adam boni al midas ha-teva. Right, the nes is the opposite of teva. But we are created to work within Teva. I mean, there is a need of Teva, and that's what Hashem created us. The Alkane, not through Nes. He admits there's Nes for people on a high Madrega. He admits Moshe Rabbeinu didn't eat for 40 days, and Avram went out with 318 men and defeated the Arba Malachim, etc. But the Alkane, but for us, you have to do whatever you need to be prepared to get what you want. To get what you want. If you want to go to war, not susa mochama and that's true yoke, because it's Lashem. No, if you want to have Lashem Ashua, you have to first be mechan susli yomochama. If you want Hashem to help, you have to make an army. He says that Ishtadlis works. If you sit there and say, I'm going to wait for an ace, you'll lose. If you don't do Ishtadlis, you will lose. Because the world's not based on ace. Again, Sir Dessler. The world's based on Teva. If you don't do Shtablos, you lose. If you do Shtablos, you might win. If you're sick, you have to have medicine. So again, kol yecholto, b'chol kocho, Shtablos, b'chol kocho, and b'derech tova kol achanosav. So where does Hashem fit in then? Ein roi lo lotoch shegil v'tzono rak v'Hashem yishal lo b'chonos ha'iva. You do the shtadlus b'chol kocho, but you don't believe the shtadlus will work by itself. After you do your shtadlus b'chol kocho, you say, now it's up to Hashem to do the makir v'patish. It's up to Hashem to take it the next step. Right, so we do our shtadlus, and then Hashem takes it the next step. Obviously, there are people who aren't prepared to win the war, people who have great armies and lose the war. So obviously, it's all up to Hashem in the end. We all know. There are people who get the best medal turn, unfortunately die, or people who have Allah Panim, who do everything wrong. George Burns, he smokes and drinks or whatever and lives till 97. The ikr doesn't come from your hishtadlus. Rak Hashem Yisrael, the ikr comes from Hashem. She can't say our rofil is rolling mukhavis lat gozo. Chshiv lo begurus shuja kvat lo v'shuka shoki ishir tzeh. Chshiv sheker sos l'shua. The sos is really sheker. But why do we do it? Right? Why do we do it? Again, he's going to review. Zos come out of the third row of Sukkim HaMochifim, okay? V'lakach that Tzavar told Yisrael l'shtadu ha'chonos ha'elu sheyetzu chalutzim ha'losu l'mucham ha'loyvein. The Ibn the Torah tells us we have to go chalutzim. That's why it's a Meshavach, v'chamushim osu v'leisrael, v'nei olu v'nei shomim Yisrael. You have to mamish prepare for war with a real Tzahal. Sheyesimu orev, and you have to make ambush, sheyeshach v'raglim orev, and you have to send raglim, ki kol yon me'ilim, ha'chonos l'asim ha'shem kochad, m'lasim derech m'negat teva. You have to do whatever you can, al pi derech ha'teva. And then the nes is chal on top of the teva. So what's he saying? He's saying that, you know what, the way Hashem works is, Hashem chose to run the world through teva. What does that mean? And he's having his cake and eating it too in a very reasonable way. Hashem chose to run the world through teva. You're right. Hashem decides if you'll win or lose. But usually Hashem decides you'll win if you do your establish. He'll make your establish succeed. The way Hashem is always exercising Ashgacha Pratis. No one's war is on their own. Every war is through Ashgacha Pratis. But the way Hashem exercises Ashgacha Pratis is by giving a bracha to what you do, b'derech ha-teva. And therefore, if I want to make $100, I should work $100 worth and daven to Hashem and have emunah that'll send me a bitachon, or yes, and send me a bracha. If I want to make $1,000, I have to work harder and ask Hashem for a bracha on that. If I want to make $100,000, I have to work harder than that and ask Hashem for a bracha. Because Hashem's bracha is the only chal to make my hishtablus succeed. It's not chal stam doing an end run around hishtablus. So he stands in an in-between situation. There is teva, but it's not that the chukei teva run in and of themselves. It's that the chukei teva are the way in which Hashem uses Ashgacha Pratis. Hashem uses Ashgacha Pratis through the teva because Hashem decided to build the world on teva, not on nes. You'll ask, why did Hashem decide to build the world on teva, not on nes? Okay, that's his business. I don't know if we have to answer that question. Right, but however Hashem decided to create the world, I think we can all assume he knew what he was doing better than we do. But he's trying to have his cake and eating it too, something in between. Teva is really there, but Ashgacha Pratis runs everything. How so? Because the Ashgacha Pratis only works through the Teva, because Hashem doesn't like Nisim. Not that Hashem doesn't like Nisim Gluyim, right? He's not saying Hashem doesn't like Nisim Gluyim, he doesn't like to give it away. No, Hashem doesn't like Nisim at all. Hashem only likes to run the world by giving a bracha on what you do b'derech ha-teva, uveirach Hashem lokecha b'chol asher taseh. Whatever you osa, Hashem will be mevarech. But for a normal person, Hashem's not mevarech if you're not osa. And therefore he says, and even though really we shouldn't need to go through teva, because we don't want to run through teva, it's all scharva onesh to omenesh shemayim. If we really deserve it, three guys will beat all the Arabs. And if we are really in trouble, chas v'shalom, oleinu, then no matter how strong we are, they'll beat us. Come back and bomb it's the show last coach that was my honest ele khar khar khun certainly means that you are shlokia tolo nis wa khis wa ana isi olam. But the Torah doesn't like to run through nace. Meaning sometimes Hashem does things like this. The Torah doesn't like to run through nace. The way Hashem prefers to run the world is that he'll only help you if you start and then he'll give a bracha on what you're doing. We times that siga kosh rokh lenor my sativa ki bi adu shay bi khotik zal shi aver noch bonu brag lewa mi amabel. Why do we have to build a teva? Hashem couldn't have just made him walk on the water. Now, you could give side answers, like he built the teva to try and give Musser to Anshe Doro or something like that, or was a test for him. That's what he says. No, but that's the principle of that Hashem told Noah how he runs the world. He's not going to save Noah's time. If Noah does the shtadlus, then Hashem will put the mark of a patish and will save him. So you have to do your shtablus, but remember, it's not the shtablus works in and of itself. The shtablus works because that's how Hashem uses Ashgacha through your shtablus. But it's really up to Hashem. Right? Meaning, if you, not sus mukham l'chom l'shama is wrong, but l'shem atshuva. Sus mukham l'yom l'chama is the prerequisite for l'shem atshuva. You have to prepare your sus if you want Hashem to save you. And then you have to remember that it's up to Hashem. The sus doesn't do anything on its own. So you have to work through chukei teva, but then you have to remember that chukei teva are just the way Hashem exercises Ashgacha. I would assume this is segueing into Meraglim. Yeah.
But how does he understand the pasuk that says, "Rufu minem kamisha meya"? You know, when bnei shel are good, so 500 for meya mikem rivavah yado.
Ah, so I think what he says is, you do everything ten b'derech hateva. You know, you get into a war, right? I go to war with a good army b'derech hateva. And what do? I go into an army through. I have enough soldiers to really b'derech hateva make my best effort. And then what does it turn out? that five of the soldiers run ahead and chase away 10,000 enemies.
It's
kind of
strange, though, that if you know that you're Osir Mitzvah Shamakam, so you would still bring everything, even though you know it's Rabu Mekam Kamisham.
Yes, because Hashem built the world out of Chukia Teva. That's the way Hashem wants to run the world, that he exercises Hashkacha through Teva.
But at the end of the day, the Chamisha Meir is not there in the Teva.
Yes, sure, it's through Teva. The Chamisha have to have guns and go chase people, right?
But is there really anyone who's watching this would see that it's not Derech HaTeva?
No, but you have to work through Derech HaTeva and Hashem can give you amazing success. Hashem can give you amazing success, right? But he gives you amazing success through Derech HaTeva. Like, for example, a guy could work and he can make much more money than he thought, right? But he has to work through Derech HaTeva. Now, Rabbi Nibachi, I think, would admit that there are people on a higher Madrega who are exceptions to this. As he mentions in a few places. But he's saying the general way that Hashem's mitzvah, the Am, is Shlach Lecha Anoshim, you work through Derech HaTeva, so you have to work through Derech HaTeva, but remember that the Teva's not what does it, the Teva's just the way in which Hashem decided to use the Shkacha protest. The Sefer Kerm, I think, has the exact, it's a little sharp, he's writing a philosophy book and not Peirush, so he attacks it more head-on, but he has the same approach. 16, Acharitz v'shtablos, mo'el v'chmech kol dovin v'luz anoshi. He said, you should always do Acharitz and Eshtablos. Now remember, Eshtablos, everyone agrees you should do, even to be Yotzizan. Acharitzos means b'chol kocho, right? Yad Acharitzim Tashir, the Pasuk in Mishlei, which the Sefer Karmel Yimei means, you have to do Eshtablos b'chol kocho, and it works. Yad Acharitzim Tashir. If you work hard, the Acharitzos, with diligence, then you will get rich. I mean, not always, but you can. Zemavur b'cholak v'ulos. And I don't want to read the whole thing because it's very long. But what does he say? He says. I'll just read it. Zemavur b'cholak v'ulos. V'ulos sheteva efshar sharm behen shachshim munach l'b'chirat mur me'in shemoneh meik ein samish yishtav zon shtib l'agasam. So there are three kinds of actions. Some are totally up to you, like whether I say Kriya Shema. Then of course, Chavrusim makes a lot of sense because it's totally up to me, right? Whatever I do, I do. But of course, those are more for like personal ruchnius. You can't make money. No money is totally up to you. Okay, some things depend on both forces beyond my control and my choice. Then of course you have to establish. That's what gets you things. Anything that comes from two actions, and they're both necessary conditions. Like a great example is wheat, the produce. It grows because I plant, because Hashem gives rain. The Efshig is also called. I can do my shtadlus, or else I'll get nowhere. Okay, what are the pulos that are totally beyond my control and I can do nothing about it? That are Hashem's zera. You might think, what does he say? He says that things that are totally up to me, of course I have to work hard on. But what about things like making money and healing and things like that and wars? So he says, well, there are some things that are up to me and Hashem. If I do my ishtadlus and I'm good and Hashem decides to help me, will I get help? So of course I have to do ishtadlus. What about things that Hashem just made gzeira and it doesn't matter what I'm going to do? He says, hine nirash in ishtadlus raven. You think there's no point in ishtadlus, but I will say, hate in nimshigam hain ishtadlus raven choyu. No, even if Hashem already decided what you're going to get, Hishtadlus also makes sense. Why? Says basically, when would you not get what you work for if you deserve an onesh? Okay, that's different. Either because you didn't have eros or because you didn't have enough zechuyus from vafel your mazel. What does he say here? When you work through Derech HaTeva, if you're good, Hashem makes it succeed, and if you're bad, then Hashem makes it fail. And therefore, if you're good, then if you work through Derech HaTeva, Hashem makes it succeed, so you should work. And if you're bad, then why should you still work? Because he says, Gevaldik, even if Hashem decided to punish you and your work wouldn't succeed, it's important to work hard. Why? Because if you work hard, then you'll see that Hashem's punishing you and you'll do tshuva and take the mussar. But if you don't work hard, how will you know Hashem's punishing you? Because maybe you didn't get it because you didn't work. Right? And basically what he's saying is, just think of a mussar for this sacred curtain. Anyone remember the science fair when you made these very simple light switches? Here's your battery, right? Here's your light bulb. That's not a very good light bulb. And you have two switches, right? How does it work? What do you need to do with both switches to get the light to shine? You need to close them both. So basically, here's the Hishtadlus switch, and here's the Hashgacha switch. When do you get what you want? If you do your work, and you deserve it because you didn't do Aveiros and you did Mitzvos, then Hashem makes it succeed. When do you not get what you want? Well, if you don't do Hishtadlus, you're not going to get what you want most of the time. And he says explicitly, I didn't read that line, that most things are Me'urav, most things in the world are things that are mixed with Hashem's Hashgacha and your Hishtadlus. So he says, although that might have been the part right before the part, so I apologize. He says that, yeah, the way Hashem runs the world is, he gives a bracha to what you do with your Hishtadlus. What? Right, but he says something like that rove of things that happen to people are that way. But I don't remember, it might be on a different page, like before this part, so then I apologize. But he says, Gavaldik, he says, what's the only way to get a message from Hashem? Anyone very clever? How can you tell if switch 2 is on or off? What do you have to do?
Switch 1.
You have to turn on switch 1, otherwise you won't be able to tell. So he says, how do you tell if Hashem likes you or not? If you're a good person or a bad person, Hashem's giving you muster or not, you have to do a Hishtadlus. If you do a Hishtadlus and you're good, then it's worthwhile because it gets you money. And if you do a Hishtadlus and you're bad, it's worthwhile because it gets you muster. But if you don't do a Hishtadlus, you can't even get the muster. And that's what he says. If you do a Hishtadlus and don't get something, then you'll take muster and you'll have to change. Second paragraph. But if you see you're doing a Hishtadlus and you're getting what you're ready to get, then you'll know you didn't do a big Aveira, and you'll keep working, and you'll be happy. And that says, he says, yeah, if you work and get what you think you should get, that's gevaldik, because not only Ashrecha b'olam hazeh, you get what you want, but tolok olam haba, you see that Hashem is happy with you. So therefore he says, okay, you'll have to read it yourself, that it's really roi for everyone to work becharitzos to get what they want, because, again, if Hashem has been gozer, you should get it, you're only going to get it through work. And if Hashem was gozer, you shouldn't get it, you're only going to see the muster if you work. Because if you don't work, then of course Hashem won't give it to you. Unless, you know, you're a very high madrigal, you deserve some super duper special reward. But of course Hashem won't give it to you. So then, you not only won't you get anything, but you won't even know if you should be, if Hashem's trying to send you muster or not. So the only way to get a message from Hashem is to Hishtadlus, which means the only way to tell where this switch is to turn on this switch. Basically what both Rabbi Nivaki here and, you know, much more pointedly, although I apologize for running through it, the Sefer Karma of Yosef Albor saying is that the way Hashem exercises the Shkacha process with Derech Skar Va'onesh and gives you what he wants to give you is by giving a bracha to your Hishtadlus. But Hashem's not gozer. Mizono Shalom Tzumla Roshan V'Yol Roshan doesn't mean Hashem was gozer that Shmerel and gets $100,000 and Beryl gets $50,000. His goal is that Shmerel should have success of $100,000 if he works $100,000. And Beryl should have success of $50,000 if he works $50,000, but if both of them stay home and do nothing, then neither of them will get anything, because Hashem is usually, Al Pi Rov, only gozer things to come through Derech HaTeva. He's usually not gozer that someone will get $100,000 without working. That's only for, you know, Yachid Gedor.
I'm sorry about it, it's a empirical thing. There's 600 desperate people. The point is, so doesn't have to say 7, it's just people who end up being able to succeed. What would he say about them who aren't
being
Hishtadlus,
so what would he say about people who aren't Hishtadlus and it works out? So first of all, he would say it doesn't happen all that often. Meaning, yeah, there are some people who don't do much Hishtadlus and manage to eke out a living by the skin of their teeth, but that's because they're doing that much Hishtadlus, right? Most of Rechei Kolel have very, very little money, just enough to not die, and they do that much Hishtadlus, right? They try to run around and, you know, find a better paying kolel and to cop a little here and there and whatever and to, you know, come up with a scheme and whatever. So he says, most people don't get more than their Hishtadlus. Once in a while someone's lucky. So he says, yeah, but me out of cases, Hashem and his divine plan causes crazy things to happen. Yeah, he admits that there are me out of things that are just based on Zera, not based on Bechira, that are not up to you, that are just the Hechreach. Same thing's going to happen. So yeah, sometimes, you never know why Hashem wants someone to be rich. Someone wins the lottery. No one really deserves to win the lottery because they're Hishtadlus. So Hashem has his plans. He wants some guy to win the lottery. But that's not the way it works for Rov Bnei Adam. For Rov Bnei Adam, and if you think about it, most people either make the amount of money they were Hishtadlus for or less. Very few people. And most people make the amount they were Hishtadlus for. Some people make less. Some people make more. So there are exceptions. You know, some people make less because they're bad people, so Hashem doesn't give brachah l'rishtabas. Some people might make more because Hashem has his plans, which sometimes necessitate drastic measures. But with derech klal, you either make what you're mishtadl or less. If you deserve schar, you make what you're mishtadl. If you deserve onus, you make less. So this is an in-between formulation with the Sefer Karma and Rina Baki and others would say that that really everything works with derech hateva. Derech hateva is true. And everything works with hashgacha pratis. How so? Because derech klal, rov bnei adam, the hashgacha comes through giving success to the hishtadlus derech hateva. And therefore, everything's ultimately up to Hashem. But Hashem doesn't like to run the world through Nisim. He only likes to run the world through Derech HaTeva. And he doesn't like to run through Nisim Nister. He doesn't like to run through Nisim. He likes to run the world by giving bracha to Derech HaTeva. Therefore, you have to have a munah that everything's from Hashem. Right? But Hashem is waiting for the Tanai. As I said, there are two Tanaim of your Shabbos.
Let's say one guy works in the field 9 to 5 doing hard, heavy work. And you have another guy that he sits by a computer watching stocks. So is one considered more Shabbos, the guy who's outside in the farm?
According to, whoever Alpi Derech HaTeva should make more money is doing more Shabbos. I don't mean in terms of practice, who's working harder, the only guy in the farm. But yeah, I mean, his Shabbos is not a matter of how hard you work. It's a matter of the Derech HaTeva, whether you're doing something that logically makes money. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter how hard you work. So the guy who's sitting watching the stocks might be doing more Shabbos than the guy in the field. Because the Derech HaTeva, he should make more money or not. I have no idea. I'm not a bucky in stocks. You're asking me who's a better person. It could be that the guy in the field is a better person than the guy watching the stocks because he develops better midos.
The farm field that, like, you know,
the person on the farm should not expect Hashem to give us him as much money as the guy who went to Harvard Law School and is a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
Right.
But basically, all these professions would agree that the fact that a lawyer makes a lot of money and a farmer doesn't, that's all because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created one profession as a nisayon, you know, depending on like where you are.
No, the Sefer Karma I think would say, because one does hishtadlus of farming, one does hishtadlus of lawyering, so if Hashem gives them both the bracha, they get different brachas.
So it's better than everybody runs to the high money professions.
Could be, if they want to. Uh-huh. Not everyone wants to make so much money. Some people like farming.
That's against what the Gemara
I know people who are shepherds who don't want to make more money, they want to be shepherds.
But that's against the Gemara that says, lo anius min ha'umnes, lo ashius min ha'umnes.
No, so what he would say is that ultimately it's up to Hashem. But I think he would still admit if you want to make more money, you have to get a better onus. Just ultimately, it all comes from Hashem.
You wouldn't hold like the Rambam is just sort of your day and work a few hours and learn. I mean, you should work hard, like you should spend all day working, Brennan?
No, he's not saying you shouldn't learn Torah. He's just saying that, he's not saying you shouldn't learn Torah. He's just saying that you have to do your status. If you learn Torah all day and work for 5 minutes, you can't expect. Oh, what would he say? He might say that it's worth having less money and learning more Torah, right? I mean, everyone would say that. No? So that doesn't mean that you should only work because the only important thing is not money. But he might say that if you want to get money. Now, and of course, you know, if you work so much and learn so little Torah, in the end you'd be a Russian and Hashem wouldn't give a bracha your work, it wouldn't work. That wouldn't help anyway, right? So you have to figure out the balance. But no, someone could very well hold that Hishtadlus is very important, but it's still better to learn than to work, because you'll be poor, right? You don't have to be rich. They might still say you have to do a little hishtadlus, but someone might say you do a little hishtadlus, not for a desler's reason that you'll make the same amount of money you would have had anyway. So you make less money, but who needs more money? So that's a different question. That's a question of values. Okay, so this is a little, there's more to say, but I'm not, I haven't necessarily worked it out properly yet, so I think we'll leave it for now in terms of hishtadlus and hishgacha pratis, and you know, I clearly like to view it some middle position in terms of how the world works, to not be so radical on any way. There are other ways you could formulate a middle position as well, but I don't have good proofs of them now, so I will not I won't say them over in public, and do something else next time.
So does the Maamar Chazal apply in terms of these issues of...
I know that's talking about Avodas Hashem, right? Meaning Hashem gives you the same schar, whether you're marv or mamet, as long as you're laid in the right place. I don't know what that means about Hishtablus. Like, that's really about doing mitzvahs, right?
Right.
And I don't know if it really means Hashem gives the same schar. Maybe it just means that there's some similarity. You know, it's an interesting question how far to take that. Is it really true that Echad Amarv, Echad Amamet, Vashi Shechamit, Lina Shem Shemayim in everything? You know, because really, that some of that is talking about, like, poor person brings a poor carbon, rich person brings a rich carbon. It could be that still, that someone who learns one blot and someone who learns 10 blot, it's not exactly the same, even if they're both the same Shemayim.
The Gemara says right, that anyway, I want to keep one works in the field, and then one is in the medrash. So it's much better, it's relevant to Parnassus also.